checking them out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
Who's the most famous one name celebrity?
Famous one name celebrity.
The most famous. Is it Cher? Madonna?
I mean,
Prince.
LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron. LeBron James. The other reason I bring it up is because today we got a lengthy list of one namers. Today, we're going to talk about Dame. We're going to talk about Jordan. We're going to talk about Craig. We're going to talk with Jason. We're going to talk to Field. We're going to talk about Corso, maybe? And I might bring up a dog, Apollo, at some point. You know, because talking about Apollo is better than talking about the other person he was sharing the screen with. You know who Apollo is, right?
Apollo Creed?
No.
he shared the screen with
Rocky.
With Drago, and that didn't end well for him.
Didn't. Joshy, who's Apollo?
Apollo is Aaron Rodgers' nearly four-month-old husky puppy. You put him on the screen yesterday. Cute dog.
Cute dog. Super cute dog.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to do a one name thing today. We're going to talk about Dame. We're going to talk about Jordan. We're going to talk to Field Yates, who's going to join us in the second hour of the show to preview the NFL draft. We always talk to Craig and we always talk to Jason. So where do you want to start, Gabe? Who should we start with? We got Dame. We got Jordan. Dealer's choice here for you.
I mean, no offense to Jordan, but... I mean, Dame coming back is a huge deal. How many times has Jordan Love appeared on the Kay Adams show in the last 3 months? I mean, a handful of times,
at
right?
At least twice.
Yeah, a couple of times. Damian Lillard coming back, miraculously coming back.
That's the word they're using.
Miraculously coming back from something that I thought was going to keep him out all postseason.
Oh, I mean, there were thoughts, I don't know how accurate, but there were thoughts that this might end his career. I mean, blood clots are no joke. The issue with blood clots are you go on the blood thinner and you have to get through the clots. And some people don't. Some people are like, they have to be on the blood thinners forever. Well,
that's what happened to Chris Bosh. He had the blood clot, missed, you know, the rest of the season. Of the season, they found out the blood clot, came back, played 40 or 50 games, blood clot returned. I believe it went from his lung to his calf, and that was it. Career's over. Had to retire. Because of the blood clots. You think of Victor Wembanyama earlier this year. Got the blood clot. Nope. Boom. Shut down. But they didn't even hesitate. Shut down for the rest of the season. We're not even discussing this.
So Dame has been taken off of the blood thinning medication, which then is a step towards getting back on the court. And it sounds like, guys, he will be available for this playoff run and will be available for the playoff series. Now, he will not be available for game one of the playoff series. But man, when I saw this yesterday, I believe I responded with the word wow with at least eight O's. At least eight O's for Dame Lillard coming back to the Bucks in the postseason. So I don't know if you were being hyperbolic or if you're just optimistic, but Joshy, your line on our sheet here says championship back on. Nice. Now there's a question mark afterward, but is that where we are as a fan base now? Dame Lillard will return for this postseason run. Not sure when yet, but he will return, which is awesome news. Wow, with eight O's news. How confident should we feel now about the Bucks making a deep run in the postseason, Gabe?
They did not have a chance at making a deep run without Dame. Plain and simple. Do I think they could beat the Pacers without Dame? Yeah, I do, because Giannis is going to be the best player on the floor for the entire series. And Giannis is going to be the best player on the floor in any series that they play. But you look at the depth of what Cleveland has, the depth of what Boston has, and you need to have your second superstar, your second all-star on the floor to even have a chance. The fact that he could potentially return for this Pacers series, again, they've left the door wide open. He practiced yesterday. He practiced with the team full on, went out and practiced with the team yesterday. He just has got to, he's got to get his legs back underneath him. It makes me hopeful that, all right, hey, why not have a puncher's chance at this thing? Why can't you, with two generational superstars, two top 75 players of all time, why can't you make a run? Before, it's like, oh, man, Bucks are just injured again. Just stinks. They did everything they could.
It's going to be an uphill battle.
And especially with something like a blood clot. Like, you can't even just, oh, they should have rested him more. No, it's a blood clot. It has nothing to do with anything else. And you're just thinking that the Bucks are snake bitten once again to only have a miraculous comeback that he's actually going to be available for the team at some point this postseason.
So I had asked you earlier this morning, do you have any idea how many games Giannis, Dame, Bobby, who was coming back from injury, and I know Bobby doesn't necessarily always start these games, but Kyle Kuzma, who they got in the Chris Middleton trade, and who am I missing? Who am I missing?
Well, you were talking about Brooke. You want to talk about KPJ? I mean, who are you talking about?
What is the best five that you want on the floor for the majority of the time?
Majority of the time?
Because Dame's the point guard. That's why when you
So Dame, Giannis, I mean, it's depending upon the matchup, it's either probably Kuz or Gary Trent, Taurean and Brooke. I mean, so, that's going to be your closing. That's more than likely. Again, Brooke, depending on matchups, could be taken off the floor.
How many games did those guys have together?
Not many.
If you count Kuz, because Kuz is obviously in the Middleton trade. That was late in the year.
Yeah, so Kuz has only played 33 games with the team.
And
so
Dame missed the final 14.
Mm-hmm.
So
Bobby Portis was suspended for 25 games at the end of the season.
Right.
Not a lot of time on the floor for all these guys together.
And whatnot. Is there any concern for you with that? Of them all now? Look, this is the best case scenario, is all of them being available. And, you know, assuming that Dame is on the floor, I'm going to assume he's healthy, right? They're not putting him out there if he's not healthy. So now they're all healthy. It's the end of the season. You're making a playoff push. This, to me, feels like best case scenario in years in the playoffs for the Bucks.
Well, going into a playoff series, probably the best since their championship run. Because you had Middleton get injured the year after that. Giannis has been dealing with injuries the last 2 years. Yeah, it feels like the best case scenario in... And I mean, Dame also not putting, you know, a lot of stress on his body the last, you know, in terms of running up and down the floor the last 14 games. Whenever he comes back, it should be fresh legs, you would think. And the fact that he was only missing the last 3 weeks or so, I don't think it's going to take him that long to get back into game shape. And he's been able to do some things individually in terms of running on the treadmill, getting some shots up, doing things of that nature. So I don't think it's unrealistic to kind of maybe, in my mind, circle game three, first game back here in Milwaukee, have the roof blow off Fiserv Forum when Dame's announced in that starting lineup. I don't think that doesn't seem unrealistic to me. It's still certainly possible that that's not actually the game, but that's kind of what I put in my mind after hearing everything Doc had to say, after reading the initial report and the press release from the Bucks and the quotes from John Horst. That's what kind of went through my mind.
I got goosebumps when you said that. You said they're announcing Dame Lillard's name at Fiserv Forum in a playoff series after he was out for this extended period of time dealing with the injury, I got goosebumps, because that would be an epic moment.
Yeah, Eric Jensen saying, wearing the letter O, Damian, what time is it? The crowd just erupting with Dame time, Damian Lillard.
Bucks appear to be the healthiest they have been in years entering the playoffs. That is obviously a case for optimism. And Giannis has been talking. We had him on Thanasis' podcast, talking about making a playoff run, what it would mean to him to win another title. Josh, we have that sound from Giannis talking about that earlier this week. Take a listen.
I love the championship we won. I love the run. I love the people that we were together, the people that we won it with. I love how it played out, being down 2-0, me getting hurt, Chris going crazy, Drew doing his thing, Bobby not playing against Brooklyn, then coming against Atlanta, the Hawks, and killing them. I love all that, but that's in the past. And the way you won then, that's not the way you're going to win in the future, right? So that's in the past. Now we're just going to got to create some new memories. I'm trying to win a second ring, man. I really believe it. And I'll say this here. This is one of my goals. Like, everybody plays to win. But, like, me not having a second championship, like, I look at back at my career and everybody can say, oh, he had an incredible career, active Hall of Famer, first ballot, whatever, but like me, my personal goal, like if I'm not able to help my team win a second ring, like I'm letting down myself. Like I really want to win the second one. Hopefully I do it. Hopefully I'm healthy.
That clip is from the audio exclusive with Giannis Antetokounmpo on the Thanalysis Show podcast. It is available in the ESPN Wisconsin app if you want to hear the entire conversation between Giannis and Thanasis in advance of the NBA postseason. So now, I know you mentioned now it's more realistic for them to make a deep run. I felt pretty confident, just like you, that they match up well with a healthy Giannis, because who's going to defend Giannis? Like, you look at their roster up and down and you go, good luck. We were talking about it on Weekly Wager the other night. Giannis is like 60% when one of the guys is on him for the Pacers, and he's like 54% from the floor when the other guy who had defended it primarily, I don't even know who it was.
I mean, 54 is bad for Giannis. He shot 60% from the floor the entire season.
And I think, to be honest with you, that secondary player, again, I don't remember who the names were. I could probably pull it up, but it was like he only defended him like 13% of the time,
yeah,
like something crazy like that.
So small sample size.
It feels like Giannis should own whatever matchup he is faced against, again, within this Pacers series. But beyond that, what way do they need to win? Because he said, we're not going to win the way that we won in those previous series in previous years. What is the game plan? What is the blueprint for this team to have a sustained success in the playoffs, Gabe?
They have to take care of the basketball. And that's why Dame coming back is such a big thing. When you look at what they did down the stretch, you mentioned the 14 games. Like, they had a game in there where they set, you know, in the last 25 years, had the best field goal shooting game of any team in the last 25 years, 27 years. It goes back to 1998. And yet they had to sweat that out because they had like 20 turnovers. This team gets sloppy with the basketball at times. And some of that is Dame was out. They don't really have a true backup point guard. They're trying to teach Ryan Rollins to play the position on the fly. And there were certainly some great moments for Ryan Rollins. But having one of the best point guards in the NBA today and in NBA history, coming back to your team who can be that facilitator and take care of the basketball, that's going to be huge for this team. They've been playing good defense. They have the best three-point shooting team in the NBA, led the league in three-point shooting. Like, this is when you think of Giannis, what do you want to surround him with? Shooters. And that's what they did. That's what this team is made to do. They can play better defense. They've got different pieces they can match up with, especially with Jericho Sims being healthy. I think that this is a team that should be able to match up comfortably with just about anyone. And if Dame and Giannis can get their two-man game and pick up where they left off pre-Dame injury, there's not a team in the East that's going to want to face this team. Nobody's going to want to deal with Dame and Giannis, with Giannis working downhill out of a pick and roll with one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA.
I am very optimistic. I am more optimistic, and we talked about this on the Weekly Wager on Wednesday. I am optimistic that the Bucks could beat the Pacers, but then it was, what's looming next? What team would they have to face next? How do they match up against that team? I am so much more optimistic now that Dame will be back on the floor. And I recognize that there will be a little bit of a learning curve. I recognize that he's got to ramp himself back up to get to playoff shape. But man, the news yesterday that Dame Lillard will return for this series, and I believe that's what it is, right? He will not play game one, but he is expected to return for this series against the Pacers.
They're kind of keeping it open-ended. But I think everybody who's putting the pieces together is looking at, wow, okay, so he's off the medication. He practiced in full on Thursday. Okay, he's not playing game one, but they've left game two open. Again, wouldn't be shocked if they still give him game two and then let him comfortably start game three here at home. That's what I think in my mind. But the fact that he was practicing yesterday makes me believe he's going to play in the series.
According to NBA's tracking data, nobody spent more time defending Giannis on the Pacers than Pascal Siakam. And Giannis was 67% shooting against Siakam. And I mentioned the second one, which was Turner. And Giannis was 56% shooting, but only 39 possessions where Turner was the primary defender on Giannis. Again, that 67% against Siakam is a pretty good little number.
I'll take that. I'll take that for a seven-game series.
We will take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We have Jason Wilde coming up, followed by Craig Karmazin. Field Yates is going to join us in the second hour of the show to talk NFL draft. I was on a conference call with him yesterday. That guy is just full of knowledge. So we are going to steal some of it this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Mentality is a great place. And I enjoy going to Mentality. They have certainly helped me. They can help any man feel and perform at their very best with their low testosterone treatments. But Mentality also has a motto: leave no man behind. A friend of Mantality suffered an unthinkable nightmare in January when his teenage daughter was paralyzed after a horrible accident. And Mantality wants to help this family, and they're asking you to pitch in as well. Please consider stopping by Mantality for a fundraising event today. The fundraising event is happening today out in Wauwatosa from 10 until 2. 2323 North Mayfair Road is their office. Easy to find, right on the corner of North and Mayfair. You can stop by for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. There's going to be silent auctions, 50-50 raffle, food trucks, free men's health screenings as well. And 100% of the money raised is going to go to purchase an action track chair for this family. So help out if you can. And take it's all taking place at Mantality's office in Tosa, 2323 North Mayfair Road, 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Hope to see you out there.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player. And the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Now that the NFL draft is less than 1 week away, it feels like things are really starting to ramp up. For more information, we go to our friend and teammate, Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Guten Morgen, meine Freunde. Wie geht es dir heute?
Is that German? What do we got going on there?
That is German.
Yeah, that is German.
And what has inspired you to tap into your German roots this morning, Jason?
I talked to Oma the other day. She is the mother of my best friend, and she's kind of the unofficial grandmother of the girls, and she always wants me to speak more German, and she listens to all of our different shows, even though she's not super interested in the Packers, just to support me. So I wanted to make sure if she happens to be up and at 'em this morning for this, I wanted her to hear a little German this morning
Shout
from me.
Oma.
That's about all I've got.
That is
going to
make her
Shout
day. I hope she is listening. And even if she's not, maybe we clip it off and we send it over to Oma this morning.
That would be sehr gut, ja. Okay, sorry.
I'm trying to think if I learned anything when I was in Berlin last year for those 2 weeks. And I think the extent of it was willkommen, which is welcome.
Yeah, nice. Hey, way to contribute. I love it.
That's all I got. Jason, Jordan Love yesterday appearing on the Kay Adams Show, diving into when asked about the Jair situation. Take a listen to what he had to say.
I need to reach out to Ja, see what the deal is. But, Ja, he's got his own world going on. I'm going to let him handle his business and see what's going on. But that's my guy right there. He's definitely a player we need back. Just the play style he plays with and who he is on the field. I mean, that's a guy we need to have around. So, we'll see what happens.
That's a guy we need to have around, I think, is the statement that stands out to many of our loyal listeners. What say you about how Jordan Love handled that situation? What is he trying to say? What's he trying to do?
Well, on top of that, there's also the Jair has his own world that he's dealing with or living in or whatever that part was, which is also accurate. Yeah, look, so I'm a little bothered by all the Jair kind of social media narrative. And, I saw our buddy Rob Domofsky get a little irritated a couple of times that there's at least a segment of the fan base that thinks we, as the beat writer core, are trying to run Jair out of town. And I mean, nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, I've told you guys this before, like Jair and I were talking one day in the locker room and I was wearing one of the sweatshirts that I'd made for Sydney's basketball team. And he asked me about it and we got to talk. And the next thing I said, hey, I make a t-shirt for them every year. We always put an inspirational quote on the back. If you've got one for me, give it to me. And he did. And I made the t-shirt with his quote. And then he wanted a t-shirt and I brought it to him. Like he and I and Rob and him and Schneidman and like, we all have really good relationships with him. Like it's not adversarial at all, but because the reporting from multiple people, me early on and more details from Rob and Tom Silverstein later have been essentially consistent, which is Goody doesn't want him back. And I feel like that should be very believable for people. Now, the reason I bring this all up is because it's great that Jordan Love said this, right? I mean, first of all, it's the opposite end of the player giving the general manager advice spectrum than Josh Jacobs, who said, we need a number one wide receiver, right? It's keeping a guy that's already on the team as opposed to essentially saying, the guys we have aren't quite good enough yet. We need someone from the outside. So I get all of that. But the bottom line is, and I'm not going to swear on the radio and put Joshy on the dump spot. But
Chewy did it yesterday. I mean, it's okay.
I know. I hear it's very popular. We got to get Charles Woodson back on to really test Jesse and Josh during our show. But Goody doesn't give a damn. That's the bottom line. And that one I can get past the censors. Because we saw it with Josh Jacobs, and I think we'll see it here too. It's great that Jordan says that Josh's his guy, and that's the kind of guy we need on this team. He's right, but it's not because of the kind of player that Jair is that Goody doesn't want him back and doesn't plan on having him back. It's because of the injuries and the other stuff and the other world that he lives in and all the other stuff. I don't see Goody wanting to see this movie again. And I think that's pretty clear, but maybe the quarterback moves the needle another decimal point or two, and suddenly now maybe Goody rethinks it when he's not getting any trade offers. But I just don't see that being the case.
I'm assuming that they are based on Matt LaFleur's reaction to a lot of the Jair questions throughout the course of the season and his body language when he got those questions. But are LaFleur and Gutekunst in lockstep when it comes to Jair?
That's a really good question. Because I know I've told you guys multiple times that much earlier in the offseason, God, this was a month and a half ago, when I was talking to somebody who works in the building who said the guy could still play. And I know I've told the story a bunch, but not everyone listens every day. I think it's important. And I said, when he plays, and the person said, yep, that's fair. So the reality of Jair is that no one in that building, I think even Brian Gutekunst, would say this guy's washed. So that's another layer to this, and this speaks to what kind of Jordan Love is talking about there. Like, they all know he's still got plenty left in the tank. And it's not like this is a player that you're talking about who's, you know, 33 and lost two steps. Now, I would say that, as we've talked about many times as well, the hit that he took from Najee Harris when he tried to tackle him low early in the 21 season, and he missed, what, 13 games that year because of it?
That was the end of the season.
Not only he came back for like 7 snaps in the playoff game, I think, and then hit him and Za'Darius Smith laid a crucial tackle opportunity.
No interest in tackling on 3rd and 7.
Right, exactly. 3rd and 7 play, and Deebo Samuel gets the first down, kick the game-winning field goal. Anyway, he's not the same tackler that he was. And I think the reality of his game had been that for a diminutive corner, he stuck his face in there. He was not afraid to tackle. And that's the one part of his game that isn't the same ever since then. But the rest of it, I mean, the guy can still cover when he's on the field. It's kind of like the clip that we play about Christian Watson in the open for me. They are a different defense when he's available. The problem is his availability. We all know that. So, look, I never say never. I never do the homer 0%, 100% deal. But I think it is a very small percentage that Goody was ever even entertaining the idea of bringing him back. And I think it's just as small of a percentage that the quarterback saying something to Kay Adams is going to make him rethink his position.
Well, and it's interesting, Jason, because yesterday I heard you guys talking to Mike Tannenbaum, and shout out Denny Tauscher, but you talked about talent outs and how if Jair can still play, and I know that the caveat there is, even if it's, you know, only when he seems to want to or when he perceives himself to be 100%, et cetera, I'm very curious about that that chart, right, with the x-axis and the y-axis. And if he's so talented and he's so capable, at what point the headache and the, you know, whatever it is, frustration, right? Because you guys were talking about Aaron Rodgers when you were talking about that with Mike Tannenbaum, talent outs. Has Jair, you think, really eclipsed that threshold of where you will put up with a guy's idiosyncrasies for the talent and the production that you get, even if it is in a limited capacity?
That is such a that's such a good question. Now, the only problem is I got distracted about halfway through because I was thinking about that guy with the FAFO.
Yeah,
XY axis
guy. Uh-huh. That's correct. Yep. Yeah,
that's what I was picturing, except I photoshopped Jen's head on his body while he's talking in my mind.
She's pointing at a spot on the graph. Yep. Uh-huh.
Exactly. I agree there is a point on the graph. And look, I do think, you know, I have not talked to Jeff Hafley. I can tell you he's not the person that works in the building that I talk to. But I would believe that Jeff Hafley is interested in him too. They all know he's still a good player. And let's not forget, like we were just talking about that 21 season, 22, he comes back. He's a second team all pro again. He played, I think, 15 or 16 of the 17 games that mm-hmm. year. So he's come back previously. But, you know, I keep thinking back to a conversation that Domofsky and I had with him early last year, when he basically said, maybe that suspension was exactly what I needed. And I thought, okay, here's a guy that took the self-appointed captaincy suspension he got and authentically said, all right, I got to make some changes. I can still be me. I can still be a different cat, but I got to think a little bit differently. And then, you know, maybe we've had this wrong all along, and this is partially or mostly the fault of the organization for the way they kind of handled his situation. But it was like Bakhtiari 2.0, right? They did not hide any sort of their frustration about the uncertainty of his availability. And so I understand that for fans, it's frustrating, but we can only go on how the team has behaved when it comes to this player. And to me, it says they know he can play, but they don't know when he's going to play. Jen had a great line there about how when he perceives he is healthy enough to play, because I firmly believe that 10-snap thing in Chicago was like when some of those guys in their mind are like, we are not doing this again. We can't have a guy be active and then pull himself out after two series. We just can't do it. And I think that is still in their minds of, are we really going to bring this guy back? Are we going to bring him back at $17 million? And are we going to put ourselves in a position where if he tweaks something, he doesn't know if he can play or not, and we're going to be dealing with this again? You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, you shouldn't fool people, as George Bush said. So I just, again, maybe it changes. But I don't think Jordan Love's opinion matters. I don't think Goody's changing his mind. I don't think they're going to get anything for him either, by the way. I think they're going to end up ultimately having to cut him, because if he's got that power of his contract of saying, look, I'm not taking a pay cut. I'm not restructuring. And that, I think, unless there's a team desperate enough and willing to say, hey, we'll roll the dice on $17 million and hope we get the guy that's been a two-time second-team All-Pro, unless that happens, I think they'll probably end up not getting anything for him.
Jason, what happens first? The Packers make a decision on Jair, or Aaron Rodgers makes a decision about his future?
Yeah, look, I don't usually watch his interviews anymore on there. I shout out to him for using the corded wired headphones. Good to see. Welcome to the old man crew.
You know, I'm right there with you, man. I'm right there with you. I'm wired all the way.
Oh, we're changing the game. And the game is now 1993. I don't know. I do know this. I know that the stuff about, you know, people that he cares about going through stuff is true. I know that he is irritating to a lot of people. I do think that When he gets on that program, I don't know if he does himself any favors in terms of public perception. I think we can all agree that oftentimes he doesn't. But I did think that, except for at the end where he always has to say stuff that he doesn't need to say, I did think that he came across, for me anyway, convincingly about how he doesn't really know what he wants to do. And I do think it was interesting that he circled back to his longstanding friendship with Kevin O'Connell. I do think it's interesting that he's told all these teams, look, I'm just not there, so go ahead and move on if you want to. But to me, the most interesting thing, and the thing that I'm sure Josh really enjoyed, because he's a big Aaron Rodgers stan, was the stuff about the meeting with the Jets. And how it's been a long time since anybody's talked to him that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're moving a different direction. And, you know, I flew across the country on my own dime to meet with them. Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you got to pay for airfare.
You have a lot of dimes.
yeah, exactly. You just got done saying you'll play for $10 million. You don't care
10,
about the money.
10 so, M's, by the way, which I was like, oh, come on.
So, I hope that he plays. I do. I hope that he plays. I hope that he plays for the Steelers, and I hope that that game is in Ireland, so Ben Brust's reporting proves accurate. But I hope he plays. I don't care where. I would love for him to be on the Packers' schedule. But I'll just close with this. For a guy who I'll never forget him saying to me, I'm never going to be that guy, and pointing to Favre. There are so many ways that they are so alike. It's just incredible.
I was going to ask, and I don't want to be short-sighted here, and I want to be respectful of whatever Aaron's got going on in his personal life, but are Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers the only two guys who really string out the will he, won't he, the way they have in their career? Like, I was trying to remember people who have quite done it this way, and the eerie similarity of it to me really sticks out.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, LeBron contemplates retirement every year, doesn't
yeah,
he? And
right.
But it's a lot quicker than this.
Uh-huh.
I don't think so. I think they, you know, not only do they hold a number of passing records, they also hold a lot of contemplation of retirement records.
I'm sure we'll talk a little bit. I told the guys I'd rather talk about Apollo than Aaron this morning. Apollo looks like a lovely dog, by the way. Very cute.
No denying it. Yep.
Quick clip we saw of him early in the interview. Jason, we really appreciate you. We are all getting very excited about the NFL draft all of next week, but try to enjoy your weekend before the madness begins.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
He's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We certainly could get into that. I am interested in the Jordan Love dynamic. I got folks weighing in on the Carbless Talk and Text line, and I actually really liked this one. Goody didn't listen to a top three quarterback ever. I'm not sure he's going to listen to a quarterback who's not even in the top 10 right now. That from Will in the 262. Is that what Jordan was trying to do? Was he trying to sway management? Was he trying to maintain a locker room environment if Jair is still a member of the Green Bay Packers? Let's figure out what Jordan Love was trying to do when he talked to Kay Adams about Jair yesterday when we come back.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The brand new ESPN Wisconsin app. Download the app today for your chance at an all-inclusive private tailgating experience during day three of the draft up in Green Bay. And it's easy to register. Open up the ESPN Wisconsin app or download it. Check the contests tab toward the bottom and register for your chance to win. Download the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He sounds like the Beatles.
What? Anyone?
This is a new one on me.
Listen to his interview, the way he talks. He sounds like Paul McCartney.
Ringo farted and it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
On 94.5 ESPN. In my mind when she's not right there beside me. I go crazy
because here is where I want to be. And satisfaction. If you missed any of our conversation with Jason Wilde, you can, of course, find it on the new ESPN Wisconsin app. That's where all of our content will be living. You can customize it so it works for you, whatever your needs are, whatever your likes are. And I encourage you to listen to it if you missed it, because we talked a little bit about Jordan Love weighing in on the Kay Adams show about Jair. What is Jordan Love trying to accomplish there? I want to be real clear. When Jordan talks, and I mean no disrespect, genuinely, I want to make sure this does not come across as disrespectful, guys. He doesn't say a lot. Like, he just doesn't. And I think that's by design. I don't think he wants to be in the media cycle. I don't think he wants to be in the circus of the exactly what we're doing. What is he trying to say? But he did weigh in on Jair, and it is something that a lot of people are curious about, if for no other reason, guys, than how does Jair's existence affect the Packers' draft strategy less than a week from now? What do you think he was trying to do? To me, Gabe, he's just trying to maintain a good locker room. On the off chance, which is still a possibility, that Jair is a member of the Green Bay Packers and is in that locker room, and he does have his idiosyncrasies, we all can confirm that, I think Jordan's just trying to keep the peace. I think he's trying to maintain a good relationship with a guy that it seems like he genuinely likes and doesn't want to ruffle any feathers. So the easy thing to say there is, that's a guy we need back.
I mean, he obviously, I mean, he said, oh, I should probably text Ja. So he hasn't really been in communication with him. It's not like he's Xavier McKinney hanging out with him. We saw, you know, the post on social media of Xavier and Jair working out together not that long ago. Yeah, I kind of like him. When he's healthy, I know he helps our football team. Nothing, say nothing but good things about him. It's the easiest play that he's got. I don't think he was trying to put pressure on Brian Gutekunst saying, hey, we got to have this guy. Just no, this is a good, he's a good football player. He's somebody that, you know, we would like to have on the team. I don't think that it's anything more than that. He was just trying to take the easiest road possible, because it becomes a bigger deal if he goes, oh yeah, that guy's a problem in the locker room. No, I don't want him back. Like, I feel that becomes a bigger story, and that hits the front page of ESPN and becomes an issue for the team. Whereas, no, this guy's currently a teammate. Just going to say good things about
him. Okay, so I know that part of this is just what the media cycle is in 2025. A guy gets on a show, he's going to be asked about the big storylines that are going on with the team. Jair, whether you like it or not, Packers fans, is still a big storyline related to your team. So there's a part of me that thinks, like, don't hate the player, hate the game, right? Like, we're going to ask Jordan Love about Jair. He's going to give us an answer. But we also spent years criticizing Aaron Rodgers for weighing in on personnel. And we had the conversation about Josh Jacobs earlier this year, weighing in on personnel decisions. Is there any point where we could just get to a place where players say something like, I'm a play. I'm going to let those decision makers make those decisions. I'm going to let the coaches coach. I'm going to kind of stick to what I need to focus on, and I'm going to let them shake it out. You know, like when there are decisions above my head and I'm asked about them, I appreciate, you know, them interested in my opinion, but I know ultimately my opinion's not going to make the decision. So what I have found benefits me is I will support whatever decision the organization makes.
Yeah, but I mean, again, you're not doing that in a media interview, right? Like, awful announcing isn't posting, oh, Jen Lattis said this about College Game Day.
Right.
Right. So it becomes a little bit different. And I mean, he's not just, hey, whatever they want to do, I'm cool with. He's not going to do that because he wants to give a genuine interview. That's the reason why he's going on the Kay Adams show. I don't think he's, to me, this is different than what Rodgers did, because Rodgers legitimately extended Randall Cobb's career by 2 seasons. I don't know if Randall Cobb signs anywhere unless he goes, hey, he's coming back to Green Bay with me and then going to New York for the first season with me, and then Randall ultimately retires. I don't think he's trying to dictate anything to anyone, just saying, yeah, I like this guy. I think we're a better team with him. And I don't think there's anything wrong with answering the question that's put in front of you.
I think Jordan Love answers that question about every single one of the 70 or so teammates he has. If I were to be the most rational about it, that seems to be the thing. He is a guy on the team. It's a guy who has a history on the team, and you're just supportive of your teammates. I think that's sort of what he viewed himself just as a leader of the locker room, not like necessarily leader of the Packers as a whole, but amongst that locker room, he wants the respect of everybody and everyone to know I'll have your back at all times, regardless of where your future might lie.
Yeah. Like, again, it just seems completely different to me than Rodgers trying to dictate, you know, them keeping Devontae, or, you know, again, he goes out to New York. Alan Lazard getting the big contract out there, I don't think was a coincidence.
No, he signed first. That had nothing to do with Aaron.
Yeah, clearly, right? Like, I'm sure Aaron had not talked to anybody.
And if Alan Lazard signs with the Steelers, that will be coincidental as well, everybody.
So It just feels completely different than even like Brett being upset when they didn't get Randy Moss or when they didn't get Tony Gonzalez later in his career. I land on kind of the Joshy side of things of he's just sticking up for one of his guys in the locker room.
But it doesn't bother me at all. It's more of, do we want going forward these players who represent either side of the ball, who are kind of the big personalities or the big, for honestly, the stars of the team. Do you want the stars of the team weighing in on personnel decisions?
I mean, I like that. Yeah, I want them to be honest, which is why I had no problem, again, going back to knowing that Josh Jacobs feels the same way I feel about wide receiver one made me feel good as a fan.
Validates
right?
your position like, a little bit,
exactly,
doesn't it?
Exactly. Like, hey, I'm not crazy in terms of what I'm looking at with this team because somebody who's in there is going, yeah, it'd be helpful if we had a wide receiver one. So I don't think it didn't seem like LaFleur had any issue with it when he talked about it, or Gutekunst when he talked about it. They didn't seem to have any issue with the way Josh Jacobs handled things. Clearly, they're not going to have an issue with the way I think Jordan Love handled the question that was proposed to him yesterday by Kay Adams about Jair. These things just feel different because I don't think they're dictating anything.
Well, because
they're just
the thing,
giving
like,
the
even
opinion.
Even if Brian Gutekunst were to say, hey, Jordan, let's have a little conversation. You and I don't see the Jair thing, and this is hypothetical. You and I don't see the Jair thing the same way. I don't think he's a guy we need in the clubhouse for this reason. Clubhouse, baseball, locker room, football. But if he said that to him, could he then say, like, I understand why you did what you did, but I just want to be clear, this is our thought process. This is why we are where we are, because X, Y, and Z have led us to this place. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
The last thing I want is for Brian Gutekunst to think that Jordan Love is somehow undermining him by going on the Kay Adams show and saying, that's a guy we want in the locker room, when all signs point to Brian Gutekunst believing that's not a guy we want in the locker room.
But I don't think it's I think for Goody, it's just an availability thing. Because I don't think, I mean, you'd like to make decisions at times based on somebody and how you think they fit. But also, Brian Gutekunst ain't spending a lot of time in that locker room. That's not what a GM does. He's not going down there and hanging out and knowing how guy is actually a fit there. He's got to rely on, you know, some of the assistant coaches, or if he's got a good relationship with the player. Like, GMs aren't spending a lot of time in the locker room because they're trying to, again, remove themselves from any sort of emotional decision that they have to. So it's not like he's, oh yeah, this guy, he's terrible in the locker room. He doesn't know that. Unless he's been talking to somebody who actually is in that locker room. Because that ain't Brian Gutekunst, because that's not part of his job.
I think that Jordan handled it fine. I really have no issue with how he handled it all. I just want to make sure that there are no ripple effects from what he said if, in fact, the team does pull the trigger and cuts the guy, right? I think Jordan said the right thing, because you got to err on the side of him being a member of that locker room. You have to err on the side of Ja being back in a few weeks. And then how do you proceed from there? I just think it's interesting that what Jason said to us is all indications are that Brian Gutekunst is done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And even he's saying all the right things publicly about how the relationship, you know, may go. But it is interesting the crossroads that this Jair situation has sort of put the Green Bay Packers in. And again, as I mentioned earlier, how does this affect their draft strategy? You know, I think they know that they are moving on, that this is not, you know, he's not going to be a member of the team. They're hopeful that somebody will trade them for him.
But that's a pipe dream. Like, so if Gutekunst is, and again, I don't think he will be, but if there's part of him that's bothered by Jordan Love having to answer this question, look at yourself in the mirror, pal. Like, you should have resolved this a long time ago. Nobody's stepping up. We're less than a week away from the draft. Nobody's going, yeah, I'm going to give you a fourth-round pick for Jair. That would have happened already. Like, teams are already forming their draft strategy. If they wanted Jair Alexander, this deal would have been done by now. You're going to have to release him if you don't want him on your football team. That's the only route you have left. So part of it, I don't think he is, but if Goody's upset even a little bit about, man, I can't believe Jordan had to answer that question, part of that's on you, man, because you should have resolved this a while ago.
Put this on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning. Do you want players weighing in on personnel decisions? Full stop. That's it. That's the question. And it doesn't have to be black and white, yes or no. It could be depends on the player, depends on the – whatever. We'll figure that out. But do you want players weighing in on personnel? Again, to be clear, I have no issue with what Jordan Love said on the Kay Adams show about Jair Alexander. I am interested if there will be ripple effects from it, since it seems like Brian Gutekunst feels very strongly, very differently than the message that Jordan put out there on the show. We got to take a break. be right back after this. We still have a very packed second hour of the show. Craig Karmazin coming up. We'll have him weigh in on the Brewers and, of course, on Dame Lillard being hopefully cleared to play this playoff series. And we're going to talk to Field Yates in the second hour of the show about the NFL draft. Stick around. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
She got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
What does it mean to be a local bank? At Great Midwest, we may be small, but our coworkers really understand the local community because we are part of it. Every one of us actually lives here. Our customers live just down the street, and we give them customized products and services that you can't find anywhere else. So naturally, after almost 90 years, giving back is an obligation we're proud to provide. That's Great Midwest Bank. Simply giving, simply local. Stars are doing that St. Rita dance, and I'm fancy. Remember, you can always weigh in on the show, with the show, on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, or on the YouTube comments on our ESPN Milwaukee stream. And Will Daniels had an interesting comment earlier. He said when he perceives himself to be 100% is insane, referencing Jair Alexander when we were talking to Jason. I don't want to relitigate this whole thing, guys, but it is very clear to me that the perception of 100% health between Jair Alexander and the Green Bay Packers was different. The Packers perceived Jair to be healthy enough to play. We got that from Matt LaFleur throughout the season. Correct or incorrect, Gabe?
Yeah, correct.
Mm-hmm. Jair didn't play. So the only conclusion that we were able to come to, and that the team, I would argue, came to, was that their perceptions of health were different. They were not aligned.
Jason referenced it, the 10 snaps or whatever it was he played against Chicago seemed to be a breaking point of, oh, okay, we're all on the same page. Wait, what do you mean you're not healthy enough to play now after playing 10 snaps? And I think that's where a lot of the miscommunication and disconnect came from.
We will talk to Craig Karmazin coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And don't forget Field Yates coming up in the second hour of the show as well. Stick around.